8:07 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. By the way, thank you, Danny. What a great suggestion. Now, I've been being selfish and not being charitable during the, because Danny said you were talking about citrus earlier when I mentioned to Dr. Bill, you know, last year our winter was cold enough early on that I remember many times pulling the teams of the NFL bed sheets out and covering the citrus trees and the tarps and all that to protect them through the freeze. This year I've not covered up one tree, one plant, or anything. We haven't really had the freezes, but Danny suggested as well, talking about citrus, having a bumper crop, abundant crop of citrus. Listeners may want to consider taking them to places like the Salvation Army, Wilmer Hall, which we love Wilmer Hall too, and Murray House. Drop off a bunch there to help out those folks. So if you've got, that's a great idea. If you can't eat the satsuma, now I am myself attempting to eat every satsuma and, you know, share with my crew here, but we are gobbling them down. But if you have more satsumas than you know what to do with or any other citrus, what a great idea. Stop by your favorite charity, drop them off. That helps them feed folks right here along the Gulf Coast. And that abundant bumper crop of citrus gets into hands that really need it. So
beautifully
good
stuff. Said.
It's and a delicious way to do it.
Oh,
and the nice
goodness.
Thing is, if you eat a satsuma or two on the way to drop them off, nobody knows.
And take a picture and post it before you eat it.
We'll be cool.
They're beautiful.
We'll be cool. I think I have one more run on the tree.
Please.
Yes, I'll be.
Listen, you know, we have all these children, you know.
That's
we
right.
We can put them to work.
That's right.
Just
oh,
saying.
Yes. Yes, I. Oh, yeah. They know.
They eat them quickly.
Yes. So show them how to pick them properly. All right. Time to check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of Mad Jones Heretic, the trilogy, which is available where, Quinn?
At Amazon.com.
All right, and you can get all three in one order?
Yes, you may. You go to Amazon, you've got to order them separately. You can put them all in the same cart.
There you go. And you can pay one shipping.
There you go.
All
right. You go. But I've got to say, if you're giving away satsuma to charity, what's next? You're going to give away Chickasaw and Creole and Sims to charity too? I'm confused.
See, yeah, I get jokes. I get jokes. Yes, I get.
Happy New Year, Quinn.
Happy New Year.
I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, President to address the nation tonight at 8:00, and talk about the reason for the border wall. Also, traveling down to the border on Thursday, and I saw your story over at the Washington Examiner that on the wall fight, the Democrats are the cynical ones. Break this down for us.
Okay. First, my disclaimer, which is probably going to get most people mad, and then I'm going to get to the stuff that I think a lot of your listeners will like. But the disclaimer is this. Both sides, but especially conservatives, completely and utterly overstate the importance of immigration in general and the wall in particular. If you look at the numbers, et cetera, I could write whole volumes on how, while it's important, it's nowhere near as important as so many of the other issues facing the country. And secondly, that the way that Trump has played this politically has made it harder, not easier, to get the wall. And so, you know, there are criticisms to aim at Trump and the Republicans and at the Republican base who keeps yelling about immigration when they should be yelling about debt and deficits and things like that. Okay. Setting that aside.
Yes.
The Democrats fighting against $5 billion for a wall is hypocritical and it's cynical. Almost every leading Democrat, and there have been lots of columns that have pointed this out, almost every leading Democrat at one point or another in the last 12 years has said that they support building a wall, at least, although not across the entire border, but support building a wall over parts of the border where it makes sense geographically, topographically, environmentally. Everybody puts the cost of the wall at least $20 billion, usually $25 billion, and some as much as $50 billion. Well, if Trump is asking for only $5 billion, then it should be pretty darn easy to say, okay, that $5 billion will cover the 1/4 or 1/5 of the border that the Democrats have always said until Trump came along. Was geographically or topographically an area or areas where the wall would be of help. And for them to say, no, you're not going to... It would be one thing if they say, no, we think it's crazy to put a wall where there are already steep ravines and blah, 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 and that doesn't make sense to wall the entire, whatever, 1,500-mile border. That's one thing, if they say, we don't want $25 billion. But to say no to the $5 billion to build it in the most obvious places where it can help, that goes against what they've said, what they've acknowledged, would be helpful in keeping out illegals in every single one of them, except maybe some of these new ones like Alexandria Cortez Ocasio, whatever her name is. Every one of them have said that border security is important, that it's important to keep illegals out, to keep drugs out, to keep crime out, et cetera, et cetera. So for them to say it's important to have border security, and for most of them to say that a wall in places would make sense, and then to have them turn around and oppose this partial funding for a wall, it's outrageous. And they're shutting down the government. They are the ones who say, oh, it's so terrible for the government to shut down. We can't afford to lose one-sixth of the government for any amount of time. If they think it's hurting people to shut down the government, then they should reopen the government by funding the wall that they themselves have acknowledged could be helpful.
All right. Well, I want to run through this with you here because I would agree, and I've said for weeks and weeks here that it's not about funding. Even if a gigantic Ed McMahon-like check for $5 billion or 5.16 or whatever showed up at the Treasury to pay for the wall, the Democrats would still say no because it's about it's an idealistic thing or a political battle heading into 2020 for Democrats. So let's get off that. I wish they were as fiscally worried in Washington as they seem to be right now, but they're not. Okay, so with that being said, you go in and listen to the rhetoric. President Trump has painted himself into a corner by saying it's like the wall and the 5-point-something billion or the highway, and Nancy Pelosi even talking about the immorality of the wall. Usually, I think there's gray area for negotiation, right? That's compromise. That's how Washington works. But in this, maybe it's a sign of the divided nation, but they both have painted themselves into a corner, I believe.
They have both painted themselves into a corner, and that was part of the disclaimer where I said Trump has played his cards incredibly badly. If he wanted even $5 billion for the wall, he should have withheld something that Democrats desperately wanted, right, and then make a trade. Instead, they've gotten all the other spending they could possibly want out of a Republican Congress. Because of the big spending bill last year, which broke the bank, We talked about that. It was outrageous. There's nothing that he has withheld that he can now offer them in return for the wall.
What about
number
DACA?
One and number two, by making it the item, the only thing that he is absolutely known for above others, then it means that it makes it harder for the Democrats to give in because that looks like a political capitulation.
Yeah, DACA would be the only thing I think that maybe might be a bargaining chip, but when you have the Democrats calling the wall that they have, so many of them that have been there for a while, supported in one way, shape, or another, as you said, calling it immoral, how do they then vote for the money and then, square that with what they said just weeks ago?
Well, I don't know. I mean, both have painted themselves into a corner, but they're the ones being cynical because Trump actually does want the wall across the whole border, and he's only asking right now for a fourth to a fifth of it. The Democrats have said in the past that, a third, a fourth, something like that, of the border could use a wall, and now they're against it. So they're being cynical, but they think they're going to win politically. There's no obvious political solution right now, but the obvious logical solution is this. Trump is the one, in this case, even though he doesn't admit it, who is already compromised because he wanted the whole wall. He wanted $25 billion, and all he's asking for is one-fifth of the entire border. So he's already come down from $25 billion to $5
billion. Mm-hmm.
They're already at the compromise ask. But because of the way that he's played it, it doesn't look like he's compromised, and so the Democrats don't have the ability to say, "See, we brought him down. Okay, now we'll meet in the middle." So I don't know where they go. The obvious place to go is to actually just split the difference again, give 2.5 or 3 billion for the wall this time, and say, "Let's do it as a pilot project in X spot where it makes the most sense, and see if it works."
Right, we're
that's what adults would do.
Coming right back, we'll get the adulting done here as we continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier. Right, thank you, Kane. 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Tuesday style. Continuing our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, author of Matt Jones' Heretic, the trilogy. And if people want to like a clearinghouse for all the op-eds you are churning out on a daily basis, where do they go?
QuinnHillier.com, and go there, and there's a little subscribe button, yellow in the upper right-hand corner. It's free. You just put your email, and once a week or so, you get everything. But the new easy place to go is just type Quinn Hillier Washington Examiner, because I'm now full-time with them.
All right, and reading through some national stories, and we were talking about the wall issue, but let's bring it back home here to Alabama, too, as not too much longer, but early March, session gets started in Montgomery, and I've said the three big things coming to this session would be the discussion of the lottery, the gas tax, and Medicaid expansion, and even on the gas tax front, this has been, you've had Del Marsh talking about it, you had McCutcheon talking about it, and Governor Ivey has been talking about this.
Well, they have been talking about the gas tax, and you can make arguments for and against. My warning is bigger. The state right now is raking in more revenues than it expected because the national economy, at least the top line numbers, the unemployment rate is low. The unemployment rate is low in Alabama. That means right now you have more people paying taxes than usual. They cannot assume that the current level of taxation, of tax rates, is going to bring in year after year after year this same large amount of tax revenue. So they should not suddenly say, we have all this money to spend and spend it all on recurring expenses. They should realize that what they have right now is a windfall, and set aside some of it and use others for one-time expenses, such as a road here or a road there or something like that, where it's a one-time building project. You should not use non-predictably recurring expenses, revenues for recurring expenses. And so my warning is do some very careful budgeting. Whether you get a gas tax or not, with the rest of the money, be careful.
One of the worries, though, when it comes to road projects, I mean, I'm not saying it's being done right now, but it's the hive of political patronage, right? Being able to give this road project here, give that road project there. Even though we have a system in the state that seems to be ignored about a scoring for a road project. I would love to see a commission, somebody independent, make the decision on this project scores 100, this one's 98, this one's 97, and that's how they do those projects.
Well, that's what they're supposed to be doing
but,
right now.
But
I mean,
but,
you know, so
but,
the question is, do they actually abide?
No, no, they don't. They get cajoled to change those. They say, well, I know this one's a 98, but this 55 out here is really important for us, and they. So, I mean, that's what I do worry about. If we're going to allocate more money, I mean, we obviously, I don't think you can make an argument that our infrastructure is where it should be in the state. So,
no, you can't. But
right?
let me again issue this warning. Roads are not the only underfunded area. I mean, right now, we have no more than a third the number of state troopers that we should have per capita. Our courts, especially juvenile justice, are woefully underfunded. I mean, it's nearing crisis proportions. We don't have anywhere near enough mental health beds. Completely apart from the criminal justice system, we don't have enough mental health beds. Rural hospitals are closing right and left. So So there's lots of things we need in addition to roads. We need to figure out how to allocate our resources so that we take care of those as well.
You know, a lot of this discussion would go back to this, the same old song we've been singing for a long time. 93% of the general fund budget earmarked in the state of Alabama. How about un-earmarking it? But I time is wearing me out on this that I don't think, you know, years ago I thought, okay, this is something that might get done. You have Republicans, they're fresh faces in there, they're going to get things done. They hadn't fixed it.
No, they haven't, because it needs a governor to be willing to take it on and actually explain it without making it sound like a tax increase, which it doesn't have to be, by the way. It's purely logical, as you and I have talked about many times, to un-earmark part of state revenue so you can move the money around where it best fits. But you've got to explain it to the public, and nobody has the guts or the energy to try to explain it, even though it only takes 5 minutes to explain. It's a serious lack of leadership in the state. Serious.
And it also, I mean, I would argue that if we elect folks to go to Montgomery to make decisions best for the state, we're really only giving them, because the ETF is behind its wall, the Education Trust Fund, and 93% of the general fund is earmarked. So basically, their job is 7% of the budget. That's what they're working on.
7% of the overall budget,
yeah.
Education and general combined, is un-earmarked. That's why we have representative government, is so they can actually make some decisions. If you want to earmark half or 55% of the budget because you don't trust them with all of it, okay. Mm-hmm. But unless you don't believe in representative government, and unless you think that needs don't change over time, then to have Alabama be the only state in the nation with more than something like 65% of its revenues earmarked, it shows that we've got, I don't even know what the analogy is. It's not our head in the sand, it's our head up somewhere else.
What about the push for the lotto? Can you imagine that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would tell you that they were hot and heavy Republicans bringing a lotto bill up in session?
Nope, and that's a completely other issue. A lotto does not really raise much money. It mostly takes money away from other tax-producing and income-generating things, but that's completely different. We don't have anybody right now out there putting forth a really galvanizing plan to reform state government. Kay Ivey has a chance next Monday at her inauguration to do so. And if she doesn't, she's not doing her job. She needs to make this a wowza moment and say, now that I'm elected, now that we have all this support in the, you know, all these Republicans in the legislature, this is what we're going to do to move the state forward.
There you go. Quinn, people want to get more about what you're thinking, what you're writing. What's the website again?
QuinnHillier.com or... 90% of it now, just Quinn Hill, your Washington Examiner.
And if they want to find you on Twitter, maybe talk about some Saints football.
Who dat? at Quinn Hillier.
All right, very good. On Twitter, good stuff. We appreciate it. 8:30, coming back, we'll take your phone calls at 343-0106. 343-0106 for the text line as well. We'll be right back.
On FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for getting your day started with Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to check in with Mitch McConnell at McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Tell me about this new truck you guys have on the lot.
Well, Dalton, you know, we have some remaining 2018s, and I think people are pretty familiar that Sierra, arguably, maybe one of the best trucks in the world, but the new 2019, Dalton, is what everybody is excited about. We're kind of slinging deals on these last remaining 18s, and people need to take advantage of this huge, you know, over $10,000 discounts. But what I want to talk about for 5 seconds is the fact that the biggest, baddest, best-looking truck on the road is undeniably this new 2019 Sierra. So I'm just inviting people that, you know, if you're driving a Ford, a Dodge, a Toyota Tundra, especially if it's a Chevy or the old GMC, you got to come check out. And Dalton, my favorite version is the AT4, which is the bad boy off-road version, and I just want people to check that truck out at McConnell.
Oh, for sure. And if people want to get a better look at the truck, they can check out McConnellAutomotive.com and the rest of the inventory.
Absolutely, man. The website's the easiest place to shop. But, you know, we do overnight test drives. We just really invite everybody to come and put your hands on this truck. You can't believe how good-looking it is. And it's bigger than it's ever been and even bigger than the Ford. So it's exciting, Dalton. We want people to see it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mitch. Hope you have a great day.
Y'all have a blessed day.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew. They're at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, the phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Talk about the upcoming session in Montgomery. Also, in the state of Alabama news, now we've talked about this for a few weeks now, if not, maybe it's been longer since evidence of the online social media counteroffensive against Roy Moore that went on here using tactics they said they learned from the Russians during the 2016 presidential election. Now, more on this. And there's been some okay reporting going on in our state, but sadly to say, New York Times probably doing more in-depth dive on this than I've seen elsewhere. New York Times story yesterday revealing the Democrats, in addition to the other stuff we've talked about, created a Facebook page that gave the false impression that it was the work of Baptist teetotalers supporting Moore in that election. The Dry Alabama Facebook page, which called for outlawing alcohol in the state, was intended to alienate pro-business, moderate Republicans from Moore, according to the report here from New York Times. Democrats reportedly saw an opportunity to win that race. And this story from Fox News said, Democrats reportedly saw an opportunity to win that race after Moore was hit with allegations of past inappropriate sexual conduct with teenage girls. Jones went on to win the race. It's the second report in recent weeks of stealth social media efforts by pro-Jones activists. Now, this is, remember, we had outside folks come in to help Doug Jones. And they're saying part of this were these social media campaigns. In December, New York Times also reported that Democratic operatives backed by liberal billionaire created thousands of fake Russian accounts to give the impression that the Russian government was supporting Roy Moore. Secret project was carried out on Facebook and Twitter. After that revelation, Jones said he was outraged over the report and called for a federal investigation into the project. As for this new one, the Dry Alabama effort, a Republican operative in Alabama at the time posted a screen grab of the sponsored post and expressed confusion over why she was targeted. And that, we're going to try to talk to her today. That's Elizabeth Bashirs. She's been on the show with us over the years. She's put this screen grab, and I'll link the story up here and the tweet from Elizabeth. It said, y'all's targeting is so wrong when it came up on her feed. New York Times identified a progressive activist named Matt Osborne as one of the people behind the Dry Alabama effort. The story said he defended the tactics, accusing Republicans of doing similar things, though also he said he'd like to see it banned in politics one day. Went on to say, if you don't do it, you're fighting with one hand tied behind your back. You have a moral imperative to do this, to do whatever it takes, end quote. New York Times reported that both of the false flag operations each received $100,000 that were funneled by the same progressive group calling itself Investing in Us. After December's revelation of the first false flag operation, liberal billionaire and LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, who also gave $100,000 to the cause, later apologized for his contributions and said he wasn't aware of what the group was doing. So there's a story. I'm going to pump this up, and hopefully we can talk more about this, get Elizabeth Bashirs on the show to talk about her experience. But there's more specifics. You know, they talk about these social media campaigns and what goes on here, but specifically here was a Facebook page called Dry Alabama. And they figured they already had moderate Republicans in the state of Alabama questioning whether they could vote for Roy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the tactic. You know, there's some intelligence used there. If you had moderate Republicans who are already on the fence, and then you have, hey, we're going to push for a dry state of Alabama, even though that seems silly and innocuous to folks, that might be just enough to push somebody over the edge. So at least two false flags operations that were being run against Roy Moore.
Do you think Roy Moore will call for an investigation?
Yeah, well, he called for the first one, so I'm sure he'll double down. Yeah, I'm sure he'll double down on this.
So both sides basically doing the same thing.
That's what they said, at least according to this Osborne, who said he wants to see it banned, but he has to do it because that's the way, and I'm paraphrasing here, business is done.
Uh-huh.
I think this is these stories are good, okay? And I've said this before. The more stories come out and the more attacks that are made like this on social media, and then people hear this is baloney, there'll be a point that this new weapon on the battlefield, which are these false flags and fake Twitter feeds and all these things, whether they be at a presidential level or a state level or wherever, people will learn to discount them. It takes a while to build up, okay, a new disease comes in, right? You think about populations have a new disease introduced into them, and it runs rampant through the population. But soon, people build up immunities to those diseases, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not as prevalent. Same thing happens with whatever the new tactic is, or on the battlefield. They invent a new weapon, they roll on the battlefield. It absolutely shock and awes the opponent at first, but then the opponent learns how to defeat that thing, and then it becomes a new normal. So I think where we're heading with this, and instead of having, and they can have government investigations, but you know, when you make a bunch of laws, there's just always another way to go around a law. I think the best thing to have happen is to have more people hear that these things are going on, so they take their news in, like we always talk about, with a critical ear, critical eye, and get multiple sources and don't just jump on things. And so if enough of that happens, they won't have to have a law to ban this because people will go, yeah, that's baloney.
And it is,
I need to check with another source.
As dirty as these tactics were, the groups that did this took so many things into account. And I remember when those Russian, when what we believe were Russian, because, I mean, it was so crafty, they made it look like they were fake Russian accounts that got caught in the act during the campaign. And I remember when that story popped up, and I was like, wow, I can't believe that this is happening after the entire, after the Russia investigation and everything had begun. But if you think that this is already over, it's happening right before us every single day, still fake accounts out there. And I think, if you remember last week or 2 weeks ago when that video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came out of her dancing and doing the Breakfast Club dance while she was in high school, if I remember correctly, the first account that put that out was an anonymous account with a picture on the front of it, and it made it look like Republicans were bashing her for this dance. And I'm sure that there were Republicans that saw that and did bash her for dancing up there, but there were far more Republicans that said, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Why would we bash a high schooler for dancing to a...
I went and looked through, right? So the idea was that for sure that Republicans were attacking, and I even took the bait for a while and said, hey, quit worrying about whether she's dancing, that's a cute video or whatever, and let's talk politics. Well, now I've gone back and done my due diligence, and I don't see the talking heads. Supposedly, there were all these Republican pundits that were pushing this and using it as an assault on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and there's not. They're not there. So that's even a higher level of creating some kind of idea here that something's going on that's not really going on, or you could have the situation where somebody would create a fake Facebook account attack and then act like they're shutting it down, but actually have the beneficiary be their candidate. You know, have some, create somebody to attack them that is a straw man, that is not real, and then have the solution be, oh, look at our poor candidates being attacked, and they actually created it.
But, you know, we already have a hard enough time of getting people to the polls, and this will most certainly impact that, because if they can't trust either side, if they think, if they're triple quadruple checking something and saying, you know what, forget it, never mind, my vote doesn't count because it's going to be manipulated anyway,
right?
That's a bigger issue, you know, dancing videos or not. You know, people like to create their own headlines and their own stories, and what better way to do it than act like someone's attacking you? People have figured out the news cycle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's so easy to say all the Republicans are downing this woman for dancing, and now she's come up with a new video, and she's even more popular.
Right.
So it works in your favor, but unfortunately, I just think that, you know, we're thinking about how many people are going to be turning 18 just in time for the 2020 election, if we're thinking from a presidential standpoint. You have all these new voters who are going to go into the voting pool. If they even go, they're going to doubt the system and wonder, will my vote count, and am I really getting good information?
No, and I think that's what I'm saying, that we're going to get to a point where people will be savvy enough to doubt all these things, And then they're not nearly as powerful.
Well, I hope that that point comes quickly. And I don't remember who it was that said the way to destroy America was from within. But when you create division among all Americans and you're able to do it from outside the United States using social media and using online, and you just put this whatever video or whatever fake tweet that's put up there that causes even more division, and then the news headlines grab a hold of it and each camp runs to their camp and everyone battles each other, it's some scary stuff, and I hope we get a hold of it very soon.
All right, coming right back, we'll grab some calls. I know people are holding at 343-0106. We roll on. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5. Phone number 343-0106. Heads up, the ceasefire tech movement is taking over the region because the Southeast and Mid-South can't compete for technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So ceasefire is investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science, so ceasefire is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. They also set up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is the foundation for economic development, ceasefire is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. The future is out there, and the ceasefire tech movement is leading the way. Join the movement at ceasefire.com/tech movement, spelled T-E-C-H-M-V-M-T, ceasefire.com/tech movement. 852 FM Talk 106.5. Dalton, you mentioned a analogous story here to what we were just talking about with false flags and false information, but put it in the world of sports. This might put it in perspective to folks out there. You said Tennessee fans are doing what?
Yeah, okay. So last night, everyone knows, Alabama lost the national championship game to Clemson, 44-16. And surprisingly, this morning, I believe that Fire Saban, hashtag Fire Saban, had begun trending on Twitter in at least parts of the country. And I saw a couple of those posts where one person said, I've been at Bryant-Denny Stadium ticket holder my entire life. I've sat in Section C, blah, blah, wherever. And this is the worst I've ever seen a team coached under or in Alabama ever. He said, it's time for Nick Saban to go. We should fire Nick Saban, and I'm not going to renew my season tickets if he's the head coach next year. So tons of people took the bait.
Right.
They said, are you crazy? What are you talking about? He's the best coach in the history of the game. And I dug just literally one step deeper,
yes,
clicked on his profile, and saw that he had a funny picture of Butch Jones in his headline and said he's from Merville, Tennessee, clearly a Tennessee fan,
yes,
that had set the trap for so many Alabama fans.
So the same thing is true. Like we're saying for politics, here it is in sports.
Exactly.
What's been done.
The president is tweeting 11 minutes ago saying, congratulations to a truly great football team, the Clemson Tigers, on an incredible win last night against a powerful Alabama team. A big win also for the great state of South Carolina. Look forward to seeing the team and their brilliant coach for the second time at the WH.
Yeah, well, I can't deny anything he said right there. I mean, mm-hmm. Alabama just got beat last night, for sure. All right, to the phones, and Mike in Point Clear up next. Hey, Mike.
Here's a little lighthearted solution to bridge problems in the state of Alabama.
Okay.
You know how they used to have they probably still have it, an international star registry? I think we need to have a state bridge registry where people can donate money tax-free and have it privately maintained in a trust fund, and all the money and proceeds has to go to the repair of that bridge. And so people can name a bridge after their relative.
That's right. What was his name? Rocky DeMarco or something like that did that. By the way, the best hustle ever, and those spots would run with the national content here on the station. And I would sit back and say, that is the best hustle ever. This guy took something that is just existing, and he's decided he's going to register with the International Star Registry. Rocky Bozell, there it is. Like, forget about it. This guy was brilliant.
Well, think how many families in the state of Alabama would like to have a bridge named after their relative, and then they keep funding that to keep the name.
They would have
to. Of course, the price of it would be for the how long the bridge is and what kind of river it covered and all that kind of stuff. But it would raise money for repairing bridges, and the state wouldn't have anything to do with it.
There you go. Instead of just those signs that say this, you know, the Kiwanis Club keeps up this mile of this highway, you could have actually your group or individual have their name on the bridge. I'm with you.
There you go.
Brilliant. Thank you. I like that. I'm going to put that up for Montgomery. Y'all listening? Listen to that.
You could up the ante, and then GPS could even announce it, you know, when you're on the bridge.
Yes. Welcome to the Kelly Finley Bridge.
And you have a theme song.
That would be awesome. We could do it. We start naming rights. I'm there. Okay. I like that. If
me
we
too.
Can market that. And of course, as soon as that would happen, somebody would come up with some name that wouldn't.
An extra tax.
Well, but somebody come up with some name that might not be very nice
maybe,
for a bridge.
Like put Bart Simpson in charge. Haywood,
yes.
You pinch me.
Right. Haywood, you pinch me bridge. There you go. All right. We'll be talking about this more coming up in the noon hour for Midday Mobile. And also coming up, take a look at what's happening in Montgomery before session gets started. As there's the three big ones we've been talking about. I know that according to most news sources, this gas tax thing is brand new. They're just now talking about it. Yeah, okay. We've been talking about it a while. And this is something that's wild going into it. You have consensus, at least it seems like you have consensus coming from Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh. You have Speaker of the House Mac McCutcheon, have Governor Ivey all on board with this gas tax thing. I mean, this is why I keep saying, I've been saying for months, I think the fact that a gas tax will happen is... It's already written. The ink might be already dry on that paper. But the question is, and where the battle royale will break out, is once they raise that gas tax, how will it be apportioned? In other words, there's right now, I think, it's about a 60-40 split between the state taking money into LDOT and money that comes back specifically to the areas they collected the gas taxes. But don't you know, there's going to be more rural areas of the state. They're going to push for that same ratio or better for the new revenue coming in to come to their areas, where you will have people in Baldwin County, Mobile County, Shelby County, Jefferson County, Madison County, Montgomery County saying, hey, wait a second. The state would never be getting that money if it didn't come from people driving the roads in our area. And that's where the battle will line up. I mean, it's going to be similar to the discussion we had, I think, post-oil spill, when the state took way more than they should up to Montgomery of the oil spill money, arguing what that was their sales tax that they didn't see. I said, that's fine. But they would not have ever seen that sales tax decrease if it wouldn't have impacted a Baldwin County or a Mobile County. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing, I think, will come up in the argument when it comes to gas tax. We'll talk about that some more coming up at noon today. Remember, podcasts of the show available at fmtalk1065.com. An online opinion poll question?
Oh, yes. Get to voting.
Yes.
Many people are chiming in, and it's always great to hear what you have to say. Yay or nay, when you think how long the shutdown will last. Guess what's leading right now?
What's that?
By the end of January, that the shutdown will be over. It's 60%.
All right.
Vote.
Yes. FMTalk1065.com. Right-hand column, it's the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Vote, and we'll tally again at noon.